God created Adam. He said it was good. It wasn't good for Adam to be alone. So we talked about that just a moment ago. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. I'm sorry. In Romans 12:18, it said, "If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." And our text, of course, was Matthew 7:12. "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would men do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And so our text gives us the key to how to live peaceably with others, how to get along with anybody else besides those that we know love the Lord and serve the Lord. So the motivation of this verse, Matthew 7:12, reflects the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any Christian who has a grasp on this verse can get along with anybody. We don't have to agree with everybody. We don't have to adhere to things that people say. But we can just be still. Or we can let people know. You know, if people know that we love the Lord and we go to church and we're Christians, they're possibly and probably not going to say a whole lot of bad things in our presence anyway. But if they do, we don't have to agree with them. And we shouldn't tell them off. You know, we need to try to, if it's something bad enough, you might say, "Well, look, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I want you to be my good friend," and all that sort of thing, whatever the case might be. The first motive, the first line, verse number, Roman numeral number one, the magnitude is the line beside the. So it's the magnitude, okay? It all includes communication and so forth, and we'll cover that in just a moment. The Bible said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men do to you." And so what we need to do, we need to have our lives in a line with God so that people can see what we are. There's no exceptions. There's no excuses. There's no exemptions for not doing right. In everything we do with others, we should do it and ask the question, how would I feel? Ask yourself the question, how would I feel if this was done to me? How would I feel if this was done to me? The magnitude of things that people will do to us. It might just be words. But you know, sometimes words are, well, they're greater than a fistfight. Words are something you can't take back. You can apologize, but you can't take back bad words or something if you try to talk to someone, tell someone off, and so forth. It includes all communication. It says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but with that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers." That's a powerful verse, isn't it? A powerful verse. We're to live up to that particular verse. That's communication. And then it includes all disagreements. That's B. It includes all disagreements. As long as we live on earth, we're going to have disagreements with someone, with people. I even have disagreements with my dog sometimes. You know, she can be in her bed sound asleep and hear the commercial come on, and by the time she gets in there, the dogs are already there, and she's just bowing. We tell her not to jump on the furniture, and she does whatever she wants to do until them dogs are gone. But anyway, it's cute too, but we don't tell her that, okay? But it includes all disagreements. As long as we live on the earth, we're going to have disagreements. With people, we're going to disagree. There's no way to avoid it, but there's a biblical way to handle it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, that's the situation that we need to remind ourselves of again. We ought to be able to get along. "Therefore, All things to whatsoever you do, you would that men do to you, do ye also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So we need to keep that verse in mind all through our lesson today. Consider what we want from other people. We would want to be respected even if we disagree. We need to be respected even if we disagree. Respect the other person's view. Sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. Respect them. You don't have to agree with them, just respect them for it. If any argument you want to be understood, nobody likes to be misunderstood. Be sure people know exactly how you feel and how you do what you're doing. So let them know that you love the Lord and you don't want to be misunderstood about that. Let them speak and try to come to an agreement. If they disagree with you, you make a statement. I've had a lot of people, you know, say, oh, you're just a fuddy-duddy or something like that. Well, don't get mad at them. Just say, well, that's okay. You can call me whatever you want to, but I'm just serving the Lord, whatever it is. It includes all correction. And any time we correct someone, we need to handle the matter with prayer and with wisdom. We should not go around making people feel inferior or telling people because we feel like we're a little, if we think we're a little bit better than they are and try to tell them off or whatever the case is, that's not a Christian attribute. So how they treat us, we need to do our best as a Christian to let them see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now I want us to notice something here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5. It includes all the correction. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite! First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So when we're corrected, remember, the other person wants to see us improve for the Lord as well. It includes all witnessing. That's point number D, witnessing opportunities. In Jude 22 and 23, it tells us, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with the by the flesh. And you know, I put in parenthesis, this wasn't in the notes, pray about it. So let me read verse 23 again. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, that's not talking about a burning fire, like if they're in their house and their house catches on fire. We ought to try to get them out if we can. But this is talking about people who do not have their lives in tune with the Lord. In tune with the Lord. And so then let's look at let's look at number F. Here in our, we have D is includes all witnessing, and we just read Jude 22 and 23. E, it includes all prayers. Actually, the thing is, we need to be prayer warriors. We need to pray for people. That's why we should pray for people, and should pray, and they should pray for us. If it's the situation that they need to ask people to pray for you. And you know, if you pray, let them know you're praying for them and they pray for you, it's a good thing. Rejoice when the prayers are answered. And let people know that the prayers are answered. Their prayers are answered. Our prayers are answered. Pray with genuine concern, compassion, and consistency with rejoicing. And so as we do that, we realize that God includes all, it is includes all prayers, the magnitude of our service for Him. And then F is, it includes all actions. think about how you want others to treat you, and then be compassionate toward them as well. Try to treat them in the wonderful way that they treat you. If they do that right, and if they don't, be nice to them, and maybe they will be nice to you. And then we come to point number two, the motivation. The motivation. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12 again, it says the same thing. Therefore, all things whatsoever you do to men, that men should do to you, do ye even to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So as we think about that verse, it's a good verse, that men should do to you, is called the golden rule. That's the golden rule. The key is motivation. And then on A, under number two, under the motivation is on that line there, number two, what our motivation is not. It's going to tell us what our motivation is not. Our motivation is not so others will treat us the way we want to be treated. It's always good for people to treat you nice, but we should not try to get people to treat us in a certain way. That's what our motivation is not, that others might treat us in a great way. But we want them to, but our motivation is simply the love of Christ in our life, that others may see Christ in you, the hope of glory, that they may understand what it's all about being a Christian. And, you know, sometimes somebody will get all upset, and you as a Christian don't get all upset, and it just makes them wonder, well, what in the world is this Christianity all about? I mean, you know, they didn't blow up. They didn't blow their lid. They didn't get mad at God. They didn't do this and that and the other. Well, as they think about that, and you live that way, the way that you should live and we should live, I'm talking to myself, motivation is simply the love of Christ. He motivates us. He asks us to treat others the way we want to be treated, but not to expect that kind of treatment in return. If you have somebody that's not saved, and you try to treat them the very best you possibly can, but, you know, it's not the fact that we treat them right, that they treat us right, we treat them right. And then they will grow and learn about those things. There's an illustration I want to make here. Our motivation is unlike other religions. Other religions do not always do things right. If you don't agree with their religion, then they don't like it. But we need to live our life for Christ. It's not that they'll treat us as we treat them, but our motivation is simply the love of Christ. Our motivation is not negative like other religions. Confucianism and Buddhism and Hinduism. I mean, those people, they actually believe that we have no rights on this earth. That's one of the problems that we have over in Europe with them killing a lot of people because they feel like they're right and they're going to kill the Christians and they're going to kill the people that don't agree with them. And, you know, we need to stand up and try to be the right kind of a person. And so anyway, then we come to Matthew 7, verse 1 through 12. Let me find the verses in here. Matthew 7, 1 to 12. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why boldest thou the mote? Beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? In other words, we're putting ourselves on a pedestal. We're not supposed to do that. Verse number 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy to the dogs, unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Let they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 40 through 45, it tells us here, and also in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 again, it ought to be from our hearts. Our motivation is the love of Christ and the well-being of others. Now, I want us to notice here, and we'll not read all of this, but everything that it's got to say, I've got to say here, got too much. But Matthew 5, 40 to 45, and if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or 2 miles. Give to him that asketh thee from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. That's probably one of the hardest verses in the Bible, to abide by that. Verse 45 is a good one, though. Here's a real good one. That ye may be the children of your Father, capital F, the Heavenly Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So that's the kind of people there are in this world. There's the just and there's the unjust. God loves them all. And what's a wonderful fact is that when a person who is one of the unjust, they aren't serving the Lord, they don't love the Lord, they get in arguments and all kinds of things, and they try to get you back if you say something that offends them or whatever the case might be. You need to hold your fire and all that sort of thing. You may think it inside, don't let it get outside. But they can be saved. And then they can be in the same category we're in. And that's a wonderful fact. There must be action to apply the golden rule. The movement, it says under the movement, point number 3. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you. And so that's what we need to do. Do also unto them. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 22 and 20 through 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed of his deeds. And under number A, it's done personally. We must personally do to others what we would have them do to us, or for, either one. You can use for if you want to use it. It's done positively. Christ didn't say what not to do. He was a positive in command. He just kept positive motives that we can do. We can be a blessing to others. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, Matthew 25, 34 to 40, it says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, what saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, came unto thee? And the King, that's the Lord Jesus, shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. The Lord wants us to be an example of the believer in word and conversation and all the things that God wants us to be, we should be. And then point number C, it's done pleasantly. John 13 to 17. Let me wait just a moment. I've got a point down here that I put in the notes. When we serve others with the right motive, expecting nothing in return, we feel more blessed than the people we serve. And you know, as we think about that, if we only please ourselves, we're miserable. If we only please ourselves, we're miserable. We need to try to please others and please the Lord Jesus Christ most of all. Jesus said those who served others have this joy. So John 13 to 17, you call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also should wash one another's feet. For if I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So then we do them promptly. That's our next point. Do them promptly. When the Holy Spirit lays anything on our heart, we need to obey His impulse. Don't wait for a better time. Obey the Spirit, the capital Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as soon as you can. And so as we think about that, we do it promptly, as it says in point number D. Let's serve the Lord promptly. Then let's do it privately sometimes. You know, as we think about things here under point number E, it's done privately. It says in Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. When we serve others, we need to let the Lord decide who will know about it. You know, if we have something to say about someone or to someone, we do it privately. Then He will let us know. In Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. You know, that verse probably is one that we all need to memorize and remember. You know, there's people who go out and someone wants them to help them with a problem they have maybe, or something they've said or something they've done. And they call on a Christian friend to come and be their friend. And they try to talk to them and they try to help them in a spiritual way. But if that person is confiding in that Christian, and then as soon as that Christian leaves their house, they go and tell everybody, that's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. And it's up to that person that might say, well, you know, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so came to my house and helped me in a great way. If they tell it, it's their business and it's okay. But if we tell it just because we want to brag on ourselves and how good we are and how we've helped someone and so forth, that's not the case. That's what we ought to do it privately. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. We should not ask for the glory that we get, that we receive. Matthew 6, 1 to 4 here on page 81. Yeah, maybe that's not your book. Let's see. Yeah, this is the student book. I didn't remember whether I had the student book or the other one. Okay. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men. That's your good deeds, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms or good deeds, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms or good deeds, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms, good deeds, may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, we've got there's some mistakes in your book there on page 81. E, where it says it's done, is supposed to be F. E was up here, it's done privately. So F is it's done passionately. I like to never figure that out. I was trying all the mistakes. But nonetheless, that's what it is. So it's done passionately. Make Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, your passion. And so that's the verse that we had, of course, in the beginning. Webster says, passion is, quote, a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement for something or about something. We need to be excited about living out Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Let's go back and read it again. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So it's not just a personal thing with us. It is personal, but it also affects other people and is helped by other people. So we need to do it passionately. That's number E, which should be number F, and number F, which should be number G. It's done plentifully, and so on. That's the conclusion of it all. In Romans chapter, sometimes no matter how hard we try, some personalities won't mix with us. And we all have people who are close to us and some who we don't enjoy being around. But as Christians, we have no reason not to get along with people. We ought to get along with people. If you can get along with your dog, you ought to be able to get along with people. So I think about my little dog. Anyway, but we should even be nice to those that hate us. You know, that probably helps them not sleep good that night. If we're nice to them, we ought to be nice to people. And if someone says something derogatory about you, just kind of ignore it. Try to. Pray about it. Do whatever we can. We need to be the kind of Christians that God wants us to be. Because God's love is in our hearts, we ought to show that love to other people. People ought to know that we love the Lord, and we ought to try to be the very best we can around them. Just do the best you can. Romans 5:5 said, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Boy, that's a powerful verse, isn't it? Let me read it one more time. "And hope maketh not ashamed." There's hope when we're a Christian. "Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts." Thank God for that. "By the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit, "which is given unto us." And then I want us to read also 1 John 4:20. "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen?" And so as we think about it, it's a wonderful thing to know the golden rule. When we are not right with others, we need to seek to settle things ASAP. You know what that is, as soon as possible. We need to try to, let's let our Christian testimony be foremost in someone's mind. You know, they may not be doing the right thing, but if they say, that person is really a good Christian. They might say that person is a Christian, but whatever the case may be, we need to let Christ shine in our life. We need to go around telling people off because we think we're better than they are, whatever the case might be. If they do something and they're not saved that we don't approve of, pray for them. Maybe even sit down and talk to them about something if it's that severe. But they apply Matthew again 7:12, and we've read it several times, to our life, and see the Lord bless, and so on. What does the magnitude of Matthew 7:12 include? All communication, disagreements, correction, witnessing, opportunities, and prayers, and all action. What question should you always ask yourself concerning how to treat others? Well, we ought to treat others like we want them to treat us. What is the motivation of the golden rule in religion? What is the motivation in Christianity? There's a lot of difference in religion and Christianity. In religion, it's selfishness. In Christianity, it's the love of Christ, or the love for Christ. When you do good deeds, whose job is it to determine who will find out about what you did? God. God will take care of making it known to the people He wants it to be aware of. So let's do things for the Lord. Let's don't go around bragging about ourselves. When you are in a disagreement, why is it so important for you to respect the other person? Answers will vary, it said in the book there, but try not to make people mad. It doesn't help. How is it that we know the motivation for Matthew 7:12, the main verse we covered today, is not out of selfishness? By looking at the whole context of the Sermon on the Mount, it teaches us to put others before us. When we are serving others, number 7, we should expect nothing in return. Our motivation should never be about Our motivation should never be about what will be reciprocated to us. Our motivation is purely out of a love for Christ. And then one more. As Christians, why is it so important that we get along with others? If we're living in contention with others, we're displeasing to God. We can't be right with God if we're not right with others. Again, the memory verse in closing. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would do that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Whew. Right on time. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the lessons that we learn and the people that prepared them even. Lord, bless them because, Lord, they've given us a lot of things to think about. So, Father, help us to be what we ought to be and be the kind of a person we are to everybody. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.